Moncrief on News Talk.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave him alone. Now, I acknowledge that I'm unfamiliar with your circumstances, but at first glance, your treatment of this man appears unfair, and I'm obliged to intervene. Now, if your instinct is to harm me, as a person simply trying to de-escalate a conflict, then I'll have to assume of the two of you, you are likely the primary aggressor. In which case, I think everyone in this town would agree the force is justified. Unless you willingly stand down now.
Bald Wells, jeez. Well, now that is a very small drop in a very, very large bucket of drugs.
That's Fallout. You can stream the entire first series now on Amazon Prime Video. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon, Sean.
I've seen people comparing this to The Last of Us. Is that a fair comparison?
It is and it isn't, right? I mean, the most striking comparison is that it is also based on a computer game.
Yeah.
Right? So Fallout is a series that began, I think, originally like on a desktop computer. We're talking vintage computer game here. And then is an Xbox staple for a long, long time. And the kind of irony is that when the creator of Fallout, a guy named Tim Cain, was first sort of approached about turning this originally into a movie a few years ago, he said he didn't want to dilute the brand, that it was like too risky a thing
right.
to do because there is this very checkered history of like not good iterations
of
video games. Yeah. And then along comes The Last of Us, right, which kind of books that trend massively. And then, of course, if you're a TV producer in a studio in Hollywood, you think, where else can I find some cheap IP? And you look at your consoles, which is why we now have this. Now, I have to admit, I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it, right? I knew almost nothing about Fallout going in. I might have vaguely been able to recognize the visuals of the game and kind of its really kind of iconic things. But other than that, like, I've never played the game. I don't really know what you do. Whereas I kind of knew vaguely what would happen in The Last of Us. And what I got was an opening pilot, which is like a really solid, well-made piece of TV. The opening pilot is excellent. It comes from Jonathan Nolan, brother of Christopher.
Oh, okay.
And his wife, but also creative in her own right, Lisa Joy. They are best known for working on Westworld, which is a show that kind of like, look, at its peak was really good, and at its nadir was not.
Yes, it kind of disappeared up its own backside, really.
Very much so. Yeah. And literally was just kind of cancelled.
Yeah.
Right? Like no satisfying conclusion. And I remember when I reviewed Westworld, my main issue was like, how could we have this world of killer robots and like not actually get to the fun killing bit, right? And like they took my note and ran with it, yeah. Right? Because like here we have this ultra violent show. It very much fits into the Amazon oeuvre, and by that I mean like, you know, like there's Invincible, which is like incredibly violent,
yeah.
superheroics. There's The Boys, very, very, very similar. Even Jack Reacher is kind of like sardonic ultra violence, right? And if you like that, you get more of the same. So ultimately the story is in an alternative 1950s nuclear war comes, and America, the citizens of America either go underground into the vaults or they live on the surface in a kind of Mad Max-esque, survival of the fittest. And we follow three separate characters. The first is Lucy, who is played by a British actress named Ella Purnell. She's probably best known for a role in Yellow Jackets, but was like a child star who has now kind of successfully, graduated to adult star. quote unquote.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And
I was going to say transition, but that's such a loaded phrase now.
Yeah. Now she's a woman, right?
Yes.
And basically, what we get here is her life in the bunker. And if you've seen Silo, on Apple TV Plus, there's kind of a thread of that too running through this. And then for reasons, she has to go to the surface. And on the surface, we're kind of led by two different characters. Walton Goggins, who's been in millions of things in his own right. Probably best known for breaking through in The Shield. But he had won an Oscar before that for a short film he made, actually. And he plays this noseless CGI'd character as, well, makeup, made up character, really. Made up as in with makeup. Called the Ghoul, who is a staple of the game I read on Wikipedia today. And then Aaron Moten, who plays Maximus, who's a kind of like steampunk-esque Iron Man figure, right? Okay. And into that, so those three combine all on the hunt of a mission. There's a kind of MacGuffin type thing. And they are roaming around this, you know, dystopian world, falling afoul of other people. Legs are being shot off. F-words are tossed liberally. I loved it.
Yes. And what are they looking for, a particular thing? Is there some overarching story?
So essentially, I don't think it qualifies as a spoiler. So Lucy has to leave Vault 33 because her father is kidnapped, we'll say. Mm. Right. There's a bit more to it than that, but I think that might qualify as a spoiler, right? So she is on the hunt for her father, and she is kind of, in some regards, our introduction to this world, because it's completely alien to her. She's been living underground in this silo, very, very peacefully and successfully, and up above all is chaos. There's then this kind of quasi-religious, like, and sorry, that kind of thread is like real neo-50s futurism and like funny, cutesy, hilarious, madcap stuff. Into it also comes this like quasi-cult type Templar Knights storyline. That's the Iron Men. I can't quite remember off the top of my head what their organization is called, but they're going around looking for any remaining technology and taking the law into their own hands. And then we have the Ghoul, who is who we meet in the opening scene, which is the introduction to this apocalypse. So he has survived the 219 years since the bombs fell as this irradiated mutant creature.
Right, okay.
And they all kind of converge on the hunt for a man, not the father, another man who's played by the guy from Lost, you know, that creepy guy from Lost, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Anyway, and they're all hunting for him in order to, you know, for various different reasons, and that brings them together, and kind of that's as far as I got, because they'd only dropped late last
week. Okay, fair enough. Now, I mean, but say, like, but you could see a kind of a parallel there with The Last of Us, but
definitely,
say The Last of Us, you know, would stop and have an episode like the episode about the couple lived in the house together, which is like magnificent stuff. Is this more, we're focusing on the action, the killing, getting to the point here?
Yeah, this is more the boys in the world of The Last of Us.
Yes,
right? Like it is that kind of, you know, each episode is moving, propelling the plot forward, definitely, but it's focusing on our main cohort. But what it has is incredible production design. I mean, the underground vault looks incredible. The overground misery looks incredible. They shot, I wasn't familiar with it, in Namibia's Skeleton Coast. And if you, like, you know, they have these kind of sand dunes, you know, very much, very duney, actually, right? Very Arrakis-y and very Mad Max-y. It all is very cleverly made in terms of its style. But a lot of that visual storytelling is already informed by decades of the game existing and how, you know, and how they can weave that into it. But it is a separate story from the game. I mean, this hasn't been told in the game what we are seeing in the plot. However, it is officially canon. It is to be considered part of the, you know, Fallout folklore or lore or whatever. and I think it looks to be very promising. Definitely.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Right. Our next show is The Regime. You can stream the entire series now on Sky Atlantic or Now TV. Here's a clip.
Very well, madam. Where would you like to start?
The land itself.
Right. Insofar as...
Securing it.
Securing it?
Obviously, one needs to secure the land before reforming it.
Certainly, madam. In terms of the actionable...
Priority one is to protect the security and autonomy of our people. And a program of reunification with our Fabian brothers is the only way to ensure our sovereignty.
Reunification?
I think this might get some chatter from our American friends, don't you think, Mr. Laskin?
Right. So I've actually seen a couple of episodes of this. Is this kind of Kate Winslet great, the rest of it?
Yeah, I kind of feel the same. Right. Yeah. So this comes from Will Tracy. He's an American writer. He wrote on Succession, and there's definitely touches of Succession in this as well, right? He wrote on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and he also wrote The Menu with Ralph Fiennes and Anya Taylor-Joy, which is kind of a good movie that falls apart a little bit by the end, right? So look, he's still developing, shall we say. And this is set in a quasi-European country. It's unclear, and Kate Winslet is playing the dictator. She is Chancellor Elena Vernum. And it all takes place in the palace, you know, the presidential palace of this country, where she has a loosening grip on the reins of the country, but is holding on with iron fist nonetheless.
Yeah.
And I guess the kind of novel thing here is it's very much kind of a Succession meets Armando Iannucci, you know, kind of Veep. It's like Veep by dictatorship, really. And for ultimately, my actual problem with it is the country is very poorly defined, right? Because it's this broad comedy, yet almost all of it takes place inside the presidential palace.
So you have no idea what kind of place it is. Yeah.
Like one episode of later into it, you see her leave the palace. Well, a couple of episodes rather, but still most of the action, if not almost all of it, takes place within the walls of this palace. And look, the set is beautiful, right? They've hit the nail on the head with that. But it's a bit claustrophobic in the sense that you have all this talk about what's going on in the background and you don't see it. It's all tell rather than show, which is kind of the opposite of what you're supposed to do on TV. Now, Kate Winslet is doing this kind of like very affected Bell's palsy lisp.
It's a weird mouth thing she's doing, right? Yeah.
And she did, you know, in interviews I read about it, that she, you know, on the press junket, she said that she met with like psychologists and spoke to people about how a traumatic childhood might leave a physical mark later on in your affectations. And this is how she began to craft the character. And look, ultimately, she's very funny. She's matched, let's say, toe for toe by the Belgian actor, I'm going to say, Matthias Schoenaerts.
Sounds part on to me.
Right? He plays Herbert Zubak, and they actually starred together already in 2014 in A Little Chaos, which was directed by Alan Rickman. And he is this like hulking soldier type with a very close crew cut.
Yeah.
And when we meet him, he has been involved in some sort of massacre of the public, and she brings him to the palace to basically measure moisture in the air because she's a germaphobe.
Yeah.
And all in, over time, the interplay is about who has control over who as the dictator of this regime, and the shifting loyalties. My favorite part of it was the kind of prime dictator moments where her cabinet are all sort of disagreeing and squabbling with each other and then telling her what she wants to hear and trying to manipulate
the message.
Yeah,
I forget which character it is, but he's the smarmiest smile, which just makes you want to slap him.
Very much so. The heart of the show is probably Andrea Riseborough's Agnes, who plays the kind of housekeeper, I'm going to say, of the whole thing. Although she's not particularly well fleshed out either, really.
No, I'm already thinking like she has a son.
Yes.
It's almost like they do this thing where if you want, how can we give sympathy to this guy? Give them a dog. Yeah. That makes them seem nicer.
Look, all in, you know, right. I mean, I know I say it all the time, but we're tighter. I think it'd be a better show.
Yeah.
You know, it's only six episodes, but they run for an hour each. And for me, although the novelty is having a female dictator, like when do we see that? Never, right? But like, I don't know if I found it, I still find it relatively predictable. Like, it's well acted, it's a game cast, it's a nicely shot, it's a HBO, it's got HBO luster. And in fairness to Kate Winslet, like, she's gone all in. Like, she's a much better and much more astute selector of TV programs than, let's say, Colin Farrell, who was talking about in Sugar last week, right? He, she has made Mayor of Easttown, very strong, won an Emmy. She made Mildred Pierce, won an Emmy. She has a good working relationship with HBO. And, like, I feel like this will get awards contention, but I don't think she'll win it. Do you know what I mean?
Really? Like, yeah, okay.
I just think it's such a big performance and she's such a big star that it cannot go unnoticed. But
yeah.
But like, yeah, I wasn't swept away.
Well, yeah, and you made that kind of, there's elements of Veep to it. I wanted it to be as funny as Veep. I wanted that kind of sharpness in the script, but it just wasn't there.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. once or twice it was. In I think the first episode there was, I can't even say what the comparison that was made on air, but that was, actually, there was one point we thought, oh, this is going to be good. Right, our third show is Big Mood. You can stream the first season now on Channel 4. Here's a clip.
Hi! Whose scooter is that, Maggie?
Mine. I bought it after watching a particularly persuasive TikTok ad.
And you've just given it away?
Honestly, Eddie, I just saw myself on it reflected in a shop window. It was a rude awakening. It had to go.
Question 8. Which day of the week is the worst?
I was going to say we hate scooter people.
I know, but like, the environment.
You don't care about the environment. You said all humans deserve to burn to death.
Yeah, but I only said that because I just had that really weird haircut.
You seem better.
Yeah, I'm having the best week. I went to a spin class yesterday.
What?
I mean, I left 10 minutes in because the instructor kept playing Ed Sheeran dance remixes, but like, the intention was there. Anyways, I need you to take tomorrow off work.
Oh, I can't. I've got too much going on here.
Look, it's important. My old school want me to come back and do a talk for their little drama club. Isn't that cute? They must have read the reviews on my play.
The 2-star reviews.
The state of the education system in this country is dire. They need me.
Right, so this is Nicola Coughlan. She needs a few days off, really.
This is her year, right? Because not only is she starring in this, but like this is her Bridgerton season, right, coming down the pipeline. I mean, she's already a big part of Bridgerton, but like this season is going to focus on her and, you know, and like whatever. Some bodice ripping, shall we say. This is created by a British playwright named Camilla Whitehill. She's best known already for collaborating with Nicola Coughlan on a comedic podcast that's called Whistle Through the Shamrocks, which is like a kind of soapy, quite a jokey soap opera type thing set in Ireland in the 1950s, I think. I listened to one and it didn't capture me in 2021. And I worked my way through this, not with great relish either. Ultimately, my problem with this was it's not clever enough to pull off the narrative tricks it's trying to do. It is a sitcom about a woman going through a mental health crisis. And like, we've seen that before at this point, right? Like it was done before in Fleabag really, really, really successfully. And then it was done by an Irish woman in London by Aisling Bea in This Way Up, which I absolutely adored. Yeah. I just wanted more of that. And then third time round, it's really diminishing returns for me. The first episode is this like madcap story, you know, sitcom-y story in which Lydia West, who's best known for It's a Sin, is Eddie to Nicola Coughlan's Maggie, and they're going off to Maggie's former school in order to, for reasons, I'll just say. And at the end of that, it's like, oh, Maggie, are you spiraling? And then the next 5 of the 6 episodes are all about Maggie absolutely spiraling in her bipolar disorder, off lithium, off her meds, and spiraling out of control. Now, I will say, Nicola Coughlan, like Kate Winslet, she is game for this. She pulls it off. Mm. But it's just, this is yet another sitcom which is not that funny, you know, right?
Okay.
Like,
yeah,
look, there
yeah.
are jokes, of course. There are moments that work. It's kind of like a 3-star for me, right? Mm. It's not bad enough to completely excoriate, but it isn't good enough to pull off the narrative chops it's trying to do.
Yeah.
And by the end, I'm not quite sure what message it's trying to tell. Ultimately, it's about how a friendship of 10 years can begin to pull apart because of the weight that one person's mental health crisis is putting on the other person.
Yeah.
But that's not fun to watch.
No.
Right?
Okay. Oh, dear. Right, okay, we'll leave it there. Those 3 shows are Fallout. You can stream the entire first series now on Amazon Prime Video. The Regime, that's on Sky Atlantic or Now TV. And Big Mood, you can stream the first series now from Channel 4. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.